This is a free Off The Ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan and lots more, become an Off The Ball member today.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. The Yellow iPod on Off The Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off The Ball all season.
Hello, you're very welcome to this week's LOI pod on Off The Ball. It is Stephen Doyle with you again this week, and thank you, listener or viewer, for tuning in to us again this week. I'll be joined shortly by Vinnie Perth and Gareth McGlynn, but before that, here is what happened on Off The Ball last Friday night.
Former League of Ireland winning manager Vinnie Perth is alongside me. Vinnie, you're welcome along. What are you expecting to see here?
Yeah, I'm expecting to see goals. I think there have been a lot of goals when these two teams have met, and I hope that's not a commentator's course, but you feel that both teams' attacking flair is probably the biggest strength for me.
Back here with Derry again, and Connor's going to break away down this right-hand side. He touches the ball beyond Dawson Navoy and gets on the end of it. He shapes up to Keane Byrne, gets his ball across, it falls to the feet of Michael Duffy. On the edge of the box, he shoots, and it's crept in the bottom corner. Past Paul Walters, Michael Duffy, he's been the star man here for Derry so far in his opening 34 minutes, and he has just put the candy stripes 1-0 from Jordan Flores. It's in towards Pat Hickey, and it's in the back of the net. The 6'6" man from Cook County, Illinois, has another goal for Bohemians, the sixth of the season, and 2 minutes into this second half, Bohemians are level. 20 yards back from the Derry City box, and a chance for him to get the ball in the box again. It's going to be the boy to take a pick. It's going to fall for Robson, who cuts the ball in the back of the net. A brilliant quick free kick from Bohemians. It looked as if Jordan Flair is going to put the ball in the box. Dawson Boyd, the captain, steps up, kicks it over the top. When it's Connor Parsons, he gets on the end and buries it into the bottom corner. An in-swinger again drops in. It bounces in the box. It's got a ball. It's in the back of the net again. It's Douglas James Taylor, who sweeps the ball home. It's a brilliant out-swinger by Flores. He'd win the first phase. It comes to Douglas James Taylor. And I'll tell you what, if you want to know one man that's delighted that he scored, it's me. Because I questioned him and he shut me up. It's a brilliant finish. It's a real striker's finish. It is Glenn Crowes. Just spins on it. Points the bottom corner.
And this has been a really good game of football. Two good teams going for it. Really enjoyed this so far. Hopefully there's more goals, Ben.
Oh, and there's a bad challenge in
that's
there
a red
from James Clark. It's a red card for Derry City. Dawson Navoy was making his way out with the ball inside his own half. I think it was James Clark. It is James Clark. Back with Duffy on the left hand side, just making his way into the box. On the left foot, gets the ball across the box. It bounces around and it's into the back of the net. It's Tyler Smith out of absolutely nothing. Derry City look dead and buried, and Michael Duffy flashes the ball into the box, and Tyler Smith manages to get on the end of it and knock the ball into the bottom corner while Bowes were cruising. And now it's 3-2.
A brilliant game. It's a big chance here for Ross Tierney. Tries around right there and does so successfully
out of absolutely nothing. Bohemians have that fourth goal and surely have sealed the 3 points here.
And they're in the same position as began. As Tierney hits it from 30 yards out right into the top corner. There was nothing on ahead of Ross Tierney. He decided he was going to shoot and he buried it right into the top corner past the flailing right man.
And it's 5-star Bohemians tonight.
What a finish by Ross Tierney.
It's a yellow card for Patrick Hickey and a penalty for Derry City.
Yeah, I just kind of call this live the way I've seen it. It's an absolutely... Bowes are probably overplaying a little bit. Hickey makes a little bit of a mistake, gets a heavy touch in. He just clearly wins the ball. I just think it's a shocking decision.
It's going to be Michael Duffy. He scored the first, the assist the second. He lines up and knocks the ball past Paul Walters. It is Bohemians 5, Derry City 3.
They probably shaded the first half, obviously going 1-0 up, but we just adjusted one or two things, but I think set pieces were key in the early in the second half. But yeah, I'm absolutely delighted. I thought some of the performances, look, we had a busy schedule, but we look really strong, you know, if we go through Conor Parsons. There's always the Dawson and Rossi get the credit, but I look at Senna Mullen, Keane Byrne, some top performances.
Yeah, no, listen, I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine. I've come to this football club to help this football club. I'll do everything for this football club. But no, I'm absolutely fine. I think there's a lot of talk from the outside about wee bit of, like you said, tournaments. No, we're all good. We know the results haven't been good. We need to be better. And we will get there. It's just going to take a little bit of time, but no, I'm all good.
And then in terms of a managerial hunt, are you in charge of that side of things, or are you just focused on coaching?
Just focusing on the coaching alongside with obviously Philip and that. There we have conversations, so yeah, we'll sit down again and go through everything, but yeah, I'm focusing on a bit of both at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the Derry City interim boss Mark Connolly speaking there to our man Ben Symes, who was commentating on that game alongside Vinnie Perth. And before Mark, you would have heard Alan Reynolds, the Bohemians manager. I have to say, Vinnie Perth, who at the start of that commentary was stealing the lines, it must be said, of our man G-Mac, coming out with that stuff about, oh, it's going to be a goal fest, because Mystic Mac predicted last week's podcast that there was going to be a goal fest at Dalymount Park. You were right, Gareth, albeit I'm sure you weren't very happy with the result.
Great game of football, though, let's be honest. I mean, result aside, obviously, as a Derry fan, everybody, I think, at this stage knows I'm a bit of a Derry fan. It was a great match to watch. Unbelievable. Good first half, bit of madness for 10, 15 minutes, and then a half-decent finish to the game. I mean, Derry getting back to 3-2, you thought, ooh, there could be a wee point in this for Derry, or even a possible smash and grab, but it wasn't to be. But some unbelievable goals. Some unbelievable attack and play, defending not so much, but that's what we want to see. We want to see goals. We want to be entertained. It's just a pity Derry couldn't play Bows in Dalymount every week. We would have incredible viewerships, because it just spells in the unbelievable games. So credit goes to both teams.
Yeah, you're right, Gareth. I went back on the stats actually after the game. Since 2021, in the 13 matches between them, and we know, look, Bows have had a dreadful record. That was only the third win for Bows in that run of 13 matches at Dalymount against Derry City since 2021, and they've scored 48 goals in those 13 matches. So it's an average of 3.69 goals a game. It's incredible. Probably one of the underrated, maybe, League of Ireland fixtures. Just to wrap up last weekend's results, it was scoreless between Sligo Rovers and Waterford, and Drogheda United fell by 2-0 against St Patrick's Athletic at Sullivan and Lamb Park. And then at Oriel Park, it was a 2-1 win for Galway United, who are on a good run at the moment, and perhaps maybe blowing my prediction out of the water that they could be second from bottom by the end of the season. And this week we have a full round of fixtures, albeit one of the games being played on Sunday. It's Bohemians at home to Sligo Rovers, Galway United versus Shelburne, St Patrick's Athletic versus Waterford at Inchicore. Our match this Friday night will be the Louth derby between Drogheda United and Dundalk. Jonathan Higgins will be on the microphone for that one. And on Sunday, it's Derry City at home to Shamrock Rovers. So looking at the table at the moment, Shamrock Rovers top of the table with a 4-point lead over St Pat's. Also having a game in hand, they of course are playing tomorrow night as we record on Wednesday against Coops in the second leg of that playoff for the Conference League. St Patrick's Athletic on 50 points, just behind them on 47 is Bohemians, and then Dundalk on 37, so a big gap there between 4th and 3rd now. Shelburne a further 3 behind Dundalk, and they've got 2 games in hand over the 3 sides above them. Derry City on 33 points and a level with Galway United, who have a game in hand over the Candy Stripes. Waterford on 29, so 4 behind Galway and a point ahead of Drogheda United, who are second from bottom. Sligo Rovers on 23 points at the bottom of the table. I did want to say to you, Vinny, just on Alan Reynolds' comments there after the game, I think he was right to mention the fact that they've been in the middle of a busy period here. And I know there was that slip up against Waterford down at the RSC in between the Midland first and second legs. But since that, they've won 3 matches on the trot, including the Cup game. You've got to give them huge credit for that, especially the win against Derry City, because, you know, based on form, you would have to say Derry City had a real chance of going down there, winning the game. And Bows, with that congested fixture list, deserve a huge amount of credit. You know, Alan Reynolds, his staff, the strength and fitness team there as well.
I think to be fair, I thought Bowles were excellent the other night. I thought it was a brilliant game of football, as I said in the commentary. Bowles were really, really good. I mean, if you listen back to me, I've been screaming for Os Tierney as a 10, joining in on his running power. And I think Bowles are a better team when he does that. But I think huge credit to James Taylor as well, because there's been lots of questions of him of late. And I think he answered a lot of them with that finish. I called it a Glenn Crowe-esque finish, Steve. You know, the half volley swivel, boom, back of the net. Good night and thanks. So, but I just thought they were really good on the night, and particularly after going behind and the manner in which he turned around. But special mention for Harry Vaughan. I'm talking about Tierney in the 10, but Harry Vaughan was excellent for them throughout the game, even when they were going through that sort of bit of a bad spell. So huge credit to the staff, everybody involved with Bowles. I think they've got themselves potentially back into a title race, albeit they're not talking about that, which I understand. And they used a word that annoyed a lot of people last week, consolidation. I think they've consolidated Europe now. So it's now time to have a bit of fun, take the shackles off and go for it. And if the two above them slip up, be ready.
Yeah, one man who is having a bit of fun, one of the goal scorers on the night as well, Gareth Connor Parsons. He's come in for a bit of criticism over his time at Bohemians, but he seems to have really found himself a bit of form. Alan Reynolds has put a lot of trust in him, and he's being repaid.
And you know what I like about it, Steve-O, is the competition. When like they have got a lot of good wingers. Like they've got four or five for the maybe the two or three positions. So there's a lot of competition there. And Parsons obviously put his name forward, whether that be in training. And again, he got his goal the other night. He took his goal really well as well. He's always looking on the half turn. He's looking for the quick free kick. You can see them setting up. How dare he didn't clue into it was beyond me, because it was devoid. He actually looked for him three times. And eventually then he says, right, let's go. And he finished it really well. But that's what you need. We talked about it before, especially with Bowes. If DJT and Whelan aren't going to score the goals, you need Tierney, you need Parsons, especially your wingers getting you goals. And he played well the other night, and we know he's got the ability. We know he's got the pace. We know he's got the trickery. We've seen it loads of time before. If he can just get into a rich vein of form, like Vinny says now, coming into the end of the season and really lets the shackles off, God knows he could score another three or four that could really push Bowes close, if not in the second.
And you know what's interesting, Gareth, is, and you sort of touched on it, but think about who came off the bench for them. Colin Whelan, Zane Moyers, Shroud, Adam MacDonald, who's done really well for them, Niall Moran, Andy, Paddy Madden, that didn't come off the bench, Diallo didn't come off the bench, and Churasca, the goalkeeper. Be under no illusions, to strength and depth in that squad, and that's where on this pod we've wanted a little bit more of them and to be a bit, little bit closer. But to be fair, the last couple of weeks, they've taken the points available for them and they're just hanging around now. And I think we're starting to see signs of what we've been calling for from Bowles, a bit of consistency.
I have to say, Steve-O, see Hickey, forget about Hickey's goal, see his performance on the night, running out with the ball, breaking the lines with the ball at his feet or bypassing it. He was absolutely exceptional, really, really good. And Cian Byrne then has made that other position. Sam Todd was in there for a while doing well. Cian Byrne has been consistent the other, and that helps. When you've got them two centre halves playing well, it gives the rest of the players, the fullbacks, the players in front of them, a little bit more freedom, knowing that they can take a wee chance because they know Hickey's going to select the right pass. He's not going to give the ball away stupidly. So you can take that extra half yard step forward rather than back.
The one thing I'd say, Gareth, there is that Cian Byrne, I think maybe some of his performance have been underrated this season, and I think the supporters will be quite happy that it's an academy player who's come through and really put himself into the first team plans. With Hickey, I find sometimes there is a mistake in his game. Like there's, I think even in the build up to the penalty kick, whatever your debate is about the penalty, can a manager, like, because we know he's not, Gareth, we know he's not a centre-back by trade, he has been converted. Is that something the manager can work on to try and eradicate those mistakes that he does make in games?
Absolutely, 100%. He can work on him. He can work on his selection, as taking the risks. As you say, he was a striker before this. He had a lot of games as a striker before this, so it's going to take some time. But I always think as well, the players that do take the extra wee bit of risk, If it comes off 8 out of 10 times, then the chance that the manager is generally going to be happy. There's going to be, like, if you take that many risks, there's going to be mistakes in you. And I think Alan Reynolds will be happy with that. He'll say, listen, don't worry about those mistakes. Just try and eradicate them if you can, but keep trying the passes. Keep trying to come out with the ball, sucking their team in. And once you suck them in and you take a player out of the structure, especially the teams that lie deep, once that comes out and you pop the ball around to Devoy, Tierney, all the players that they have, then that's one less player for them to go to, or one left defender for them to break down. So I think Alan Reynolds will be quietly putting in a word in his ear saying, listen, keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, but Steve-O, Garrett is right, but you have to have something beside him, whether that's Cain Bourne or Hickey, one of them. Sam Todd, if you go back to week 2-3 of the podcast, is maybe 4, where Bowles had started really well, weren't conceding goals. I had a real concern around their back 4 not being strong enough. Dura Lopez and Andy Boyle, Brian Gartland, got back through the years. They're one centre-half away. That's the next challenge for them. Can they get that centre-half away of a title-winning centre-half to go into the mix of that group? And I think that's hugely crucial. And there's questions about the goalkeeper in situation. Some people would rather slightly different. I probably would question, it's probably gone under the radar a little bit, but the first goal from Michael Duffy is brilliant and he gave him the eyes a little bit, but it's still going in quite centrally on Walters. So they're two key positions I think they've got to fix heading into next season if they want to push whoever the champions are next year or become champions this year. You can't make them changes now. The cards are dealt and they have to do that, but they are an out and out centre half away from being right in the mix.
I would put it to both of you now, I reckon every other team in the league takes Pat Hickey. All of them want to sign him, as in the way he's playing now. You're talking about little mistakes. I think if you offer him up to every other team, they all say yes and they play him centre half.
Okay, yeah, I can see where you're coming from, Gareth. Absolutely. Before we look ahead to their game against Sligo Rovers, just one other player, and Vinny, you would have got a good view of him, I suppose, in the second half for Bohemians, because he was defending the school end. Darragh Power, I feel, has gone under the radar a little bit, and some people might say he's the best right back on form in the league at the moment.
He's gone under the radar, to be fair. He was tested against the very, very best. Almost everything Derry done well, every single chance in the first half was through Michael Duffy.
Okay.
Derry started with Michael inverted, and then for whether it was tactical or Michael took it upon himself, he went and got himself right up against Darragh Power and hurt him down that side. Again, Michael scored the goal by coming inside, but created 3 or 4 chances. And to be fair to Walters, had to make a big reactionary save early in the game. So there's a bit of vulnerability in the fullback's area, Steve. But then, to be fair to Power, he just started to grow into the game. As the team got confidence, he got confidence. And Michael drifted out of it a little bit in the second half. And some of that you have to give Power credit for. But he was hanging on for dear life in that first half. But, I mean, him and Sandon Mullen, Cian Bourne and Hickey have done well. But 2-3 of them, yes. But there's still 1-2 players away of that being a championship winning back four, in my view. But Power could be part of a championship winning back four, but not in that combination, if that is explained.
I think maybe it's a kind of a lack of leadership with it, because I don't think you have any real talkers. A marshaller, like I'm thinking, I know, sorry to be making the Premier League reference, but John Egan on Saturday against Manchester United, he ran that back five for Hull City. You know, he's 33 years of age, he's got so much experience, international and club level, Premier League, Championship, but that kind of a player who will, you know, tell lads to come up when they need to come up, tell lads to drop when they need to drop, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you're right, but I always use that analogy going back to the Premier League. Van Dijk and Matip won the league together. If Matip had a sign for Manchester United and Lindelof signed for Liverpool, Lindelof and and Van Dijk probably would have won the league together. It's combinations, and that's the point I'm trying to make about put a Lopez into the back four of Bowles, whether it's for Keane Bourne or Hickey, and it changes both of them. They go up another level. So it's that combinations I think we've got to get right.
Well, they're getting ready to face a Sligo Rovers side who, well, they'd be full of confidence after what happened at the weekend, holding, you know, you would say the best attacking team in the league based on form of the last 10 matches, the best two strikers, Tommy Lonergan and Padraig Am. We'll talk about that Sligo Rovers in a moment. But Bohemians have lost their last two home matches against Sligo Rovers. Earlier in the league, they were beaten 2-1. They also lost to Sligo Rovers in the Cup at home last year. And they were held to a draw against Sligo Rovers in their last, or the previous league game to that. So I think this Sligo team are going to be full of confidence. And I think, Gareth, it's a really important game for Bohemians to win now, because they have to back up that Derry performance, that Derry result, and to show that, yeah, look, you know, we are just about still in that title race.
Yeah, 100%. And equally, it's an important match for Sligo as well. But this is the joys of it. When a Sligo Rovers team under John Russell, Wendy Talla, or Dalymount, they play with no fear. They always had an attacking mindset. We don't know how they're going to shape up now under Darren. It'll be a massive, massive game for both clubs. I think if Bowes were to go and put in another good performance and won by two or three against Sligo, then I think you would turn around and go, right, this is an opportunity to really put three or four ones together. Because I think between the three of them, Shamrock Rovers, Pats and Bowes, if you do win four or five games out of the next five or six, I think you could find yourself top of the league. That's how important it is for Bowes. But again, they should be brimming with confidence. I mean, 5-3, all right, they conceded three goals, but five goals at home against Derry, you got to be taking a lot of confidence from that. Sligo will take a bit of confidence as well from the Waterford game. They were decent. They made Waterford look pretty average. Coughlin even admitted that. Defensively, they were good. So it'll be a good game. I don't think Bowes can take them lightly, because you know what happened the last two times they did that, they were beat.
Yeah. Were you at the Derry 2-0 win against Sligo Rovers there a couple of weeks ago, Gareth? Were you away from that?
No,
you were away
TV
from that one, weren't you? It does look like they're shaping up in a 4-2-3-1. I've yet to see like a full Sligo Rovers match under Pearce, but there's, I think, one man in that defence, Gareth, who has been impressing you. I know, look, he's been a player that we've noticed over the last couple of years, but he's maturing now. I think he got man of the match last week, did he, against Waterford? Yeah. Gareth, you might talk to us a bit about him.
Yeah, so Gareth McElroy, young centre-half, came through academy at Derry and then went and studied in Sligo. So Sligo picked him up. He's a big unit. I played with him actually at junior football in Alia. The one thing that I'll tell about him, he's got this massive knack of being in the right place at the right time constantly. Whether it's blocks, putting your body in the line, he's very good in both boxes. He's a massive danger in corners four, but he's very good at corners back as well. Very relaxed, tall. Couple of things they work on, the speed and on the turn, but as a young player and as a young centre-half, he's one of the best in the league. And I think the reason he's got this kind of innate ability to be at the right place at the right time is from a Gaelic background. He would have played Gaelic for Burt, and he's very, very, very good at reading the game, whether it's the dropping ball, the ball's over the top, whether it's attacking the ball defensively or in the opposition box. He's definitely one they watch, and he's going to be very important. So at the minute, they're kind of going from a 4 to a 3, and when they go to a 3, Gareth plays in the middle. When they go to a 4, Gareth plays in the left and he's right-footed, and Dean plays on the right, which is unusual. Usually the more experienced centre-half goes on the left because of the left foot, but it's Gareth taking that responsibility. So we'll see how he develops.
Yeah, what have you made of this? Like, it does feel like, you know, Pearce kind of coming in maybe a little bit too late, Vinny, but he's had a couple of, like, results. You're kind of going, oh, well, there might be still some life in this relegation fight for Sligo Rovers. Like, they went away to Dundalk and got a 1-1 draw. Like, that's a really impressive result at Oriel Park as well. And you look like they do have a settled enough back four there with McElroy, Denham, Masua. And like Sargent, I've seen Sargent pulling out some amazing performances at Dalymount Park in the past as well. So like they must be going there with some bit of confidence.
Yeah, they're probably going with confidence, but I'd be flabbergasted if Bowes don't beat them this week. Absolutely flabbergasted. I think it's a long, long road ahead for Sligo between now and the end of the season. Yes, there's some green shoots, but they've appointed someone who didn't know the league, didn't know his own squad, didn't know the opposition, sort of chasing their tail. And I think ultimately that's going to work out to be, and it's not a slight on Darren Boris, because, you know, he's operated at a really high level in football. I think it was a poor appointment for what was needed and when it was needed. And you reap what you sow. And I think it's a bit sad. I mean, we might get onto the whole sort of tour tier and what's happening in that first division later on, but I just fear for Sligo at the moment. I think they've a long, long way back. And yes, Dundalk are getting a point up in Dundalk, but Dundalk's form is so poor at the moment that they must have seen that as an opportunity and they didn't. And I just don't see enough wins coming their way anytime soon.
And I think, Steve, I think for Darren Purse as well, I mean, he had to stop the rot, right? So thinking that he was going to come on and just start winning matches is crazy, but he's picked up two good draws, two good points. You've got to start somewhere. So if he can turn that, maybe get another draw against Bowes and then pick up a win, he's got a chance. But as Vinny says, they're well behind the other two.
Yeah, the start of the weekend's action, Sligo Rovers, as we mentioned already, bottom of the table, but there's a 5-point gap between them and Drogheda United. And Drogheda United have a very tough game themselves at this weekend. That is going to be our feature match on Off the Ball on Friday night. It's kicking off at 8 o'clock. It is the Louth Derby and it's at Sullivan and Lamb Park. And we were discussing before we came on air this week about the two teams, Drogheda United and Dundalk. And I suppose at the moment, Vinny, two teams kind of struggling for form at the moment. I know there was a couple of decent results for Drogheda United over the last couple of weeks, but, and most notably, I suppose, that win in the last Louth Derby, which we were at Oriel Park, but it just feels like they haven't really kicked on from that.
Yeah, I said last week or the week before, was it? I thought they'd be okay. I'm just a little bit nervous for the moment. I think they need a couple of wins and they could really deal with beating Dundalk. I mean, what they lost, one, drew three. And so the last four or five games, I think they've only got one win. And when you're in that playoff position, you need a little bit more than that. So they've got the players, they've got the know-how, they've got the manager capable of doing it. But it's always saying you're too good for this and that. They just need another couple of wins. And Dundalk are in really poor form at the moment, but at the same time, because of this derby and when you're involved in it, you just don't realise there'll be a lot at stake. It is an Oriel, so they won't have any fans up there, if I'm not mistaken.
No, it's in Sutherland Park.
Sorry, it's in Sutherland Park, so that makes a huge difference for them. And it makes, sorry, the other way around, and it makes it really difficult for Dundalk on there. So I feel like they need probably 3-4 more wins and they'll target the likes of Dundalk as one of them. So it's a huge game for them and they've got to get 3 points. And I think they've got enough about them, but I've been saying that for 3 or 4 weeks now and they've not got out of that playoff position.
Yeah, Drogheda United's last win was the Louth Derby, if you take out the cup matches. So they lost against Pats last week. Before that, they had 3 successive draws against Galway United, Shamrock Rovers and Sligo Rovers. And you'd have to go back for their last home win this season was actually against Derry City back on the 8th of May. So Sutherland Lamb Park hasn't been kind to them, Gareth. And they really, your home matches are so important, aren't they, when you're in a relegation fight like this?
Yeah, this is a massive match for Kevin Doherty. I think he'll look at this and he'll really, I know you were asking us, will he sit back? They can't sit as back as they did, as deep as they did against St. Pat's. Oh my God, they were deep. I mean, Alua and Davis were so far away from even the halfway line. I couldn't believe how deep they sat. I think they were just trying to get a draw out of it and it just didn't work. I think they've got to really smell blood. I think they'll look at it now and they'll go, no Arubi, no Kenny. They'll see a fragile Dundalk and I think they'll go for the juggler. I think they've got a settled back three now, Abaji, Keeley and Bulger. I think that's helped a lot. I think they're just starting to get into the rhythm and I think Kevin Doherty will, he'll be so accustomed to this stage of the season, fighting down around the bottom of the league, I think they'll be massive. Another thing is going to be set pieces, going to be huge. So Farrell's ability on set pieces could be the difference on this weekend against Dundalk. I think they,
Dundalk don't defend them well, Gareth Doody. We've seen that over the last few months. They've been awful from set pieces. Yeah.
Mm. What do you put down to, Vinny? Sorry.
It's a number of things. It's obviously gone through the club. I've done a piece on TV. Was a pre the derby maybe as well. And they just don't seem to be like Dundalk have taken the lead in so many games over the last couple of months. And they've got a lot of leadership in the squad, to be fair. The likes of Buckley, Cornwall, they've got people who know the way. Horgan obviously is up there, arguably is one of the best players of the season. So they've got people who know how. But outside of Cornwall and Moyowa, Asamoah, I'm not sure they've got real sort of fellas going to put their head on the block in the middle of the box and stuff like that. So, I mean, the three goals against Waterford not that long ago when they were 2-0 up were all set pieces as well. So they're really, really struggling. It has to be playing on their mind. There is a lot of talk about it locally up there as well. So, and that almost makes it worse because everyone else is cottoned onto it. And you can be sure, if you go back to the game, draw it against Dundalk, where we were at, Steve-O, Dundalk done really well. They were comfortable in the game.
Well, the first half, it was your cliche, too, game of two halves, Dundalk. It is the thing with them, isn't they really fly into matches. I remember doing them against Shelburne at Tolka Park. That last Shamrock Rovers game, they really got stuck in from the start in that first half. Yeah. And then Drogheda United turned the tables. Vinny, can you remember what the key to that turnaround was for Drogheda United on the night?
Yeah, so, and Kevin alluded to it, and Kevin was almost making, not excuse, I don't know what the right word is. Remember listening to Kevin's interview after, and they had a free kick at the start of the second half, about 5 minutes into it, about 5 yards outside the box, and he sent the three centre-halves up for that free kick, and the keeper launched it. And that was Kevin, and he alluded to it in his... and that's where we felt he'd kick on. And he did get three draws after that result. But he basically said that we're going back to our basics, going back to what we're good at, going back to what we're doing. And he bullied Dundalk early in that part of the pitch. And I think he will definitely... We'll see a lot of the old draw at the back where anytime you get a set piece, even in their own half, three centre-halves are going up. They win the second phase and lob it back into the box as well, because you've got to play on the weakness of your opposition, and that is a weakness of Dundalk. So that's where that game flung straight back into Drogheda's hands up there, and he had a huge win up there that night, and they had no fans, as I said, and they celebrated it like it was a big turning point. It hasn't worked out that way, so they will sense another opportunity on Friday.
Yeah, and Shane Farrell got the two goals on the night for Drogheda United. Gareth, he's some player, isn't he? Like he might maybe lack a bit of consistency game by game, but jeepers, he came up with two absolute belters, and he scored the following week then against Sligo Rovers, a really important goal to get them a point over the Showgrounds. He's a hard player to kind of to describe almost. Like if somebody asked you, describe this Shane Farrell player to me, like I don't even know how I'd describe him, because he does not, he almost like he doesn't, and I don't want to be disrespectful, he doesn't look like a footballer, but he's just he has a lot of strengths that kind of you wouldn't expect him to have. He's got great character as well, but he's got a lovely touch and as we know, a great set piece delivery and a lovely finish.
Yeah, well, that's a perfect thing. So you're going up against a player, if you're lining up against Shane Farrell now next week, and you're going, you're up against Shane Farrell, you're looking at him going, right, I don't know what he's going to do, but he can do a lot of things very well, but I just don't know who's going to show up. And you're right, but one of the things that he doesn't get enough credit for is his in-match decision-making when he's passing the ball. Very, very rarely does he make the wrong decision. If it has to go long and it's tight and they're under a bit of pressure, he's got that experience to just clip one round the corner and let the strikers run after it. Or if he sees the game opening up a bit and he's got a little bit more space and himself and Ryan Brennan can play another 1-2 and get themselves into a better position to get a better delivery to the strikers, then he will do that too. And then he can score goals. But for me, a set piece deliveries are exceptional. Free kicks, corners, you name it. And they could be the difference in Friday night.
Yeah, absolutely. His former club, Shelburne, it's been a long time, Vinny, since we've seen Shelburne playing a league match. In fact, it'll be 15 days since they last played a game when they take on Galway United over at Eamon DC Park. Is that is it a good or a bad thing?
I don't know. We're going to find out. Because at half-time on Friday, if they're 1-0 up, people say it's a good thing. And if they're 1-0 down and rusty, people say the opposite. I mean, Gareth will tell you, we can wax lyrical as pundits about time off, the way you do stuff. Sometimes there's just no reason how you start a game, particularly after that break, whether you've been injured for a few weeks or whether your team has had an enforced break. So we're just going to have to wait and see a little bit, Steve-O. Like, and for me, the bigger question is, yes, that's a fascinating to see the way Shells bounce back. But with games in hand, who is in this relegation battle for the playoff position? Because there's no way Sligo are catching teams like Derry, Shelbourne and Dundalk. But are Drogheda Waterford catching teams like Derry, Shelbourne and Dundalk? And it's actually fascinating. And as much as Shells have too much quality, they've games in hand, but they are still only on 34 points.
Mm.
And that's only six clear of Drogheda who are in the playoff position. And when are Shelbourne going to get a win from somewhere? Because it's very hard to see it. They've won one the last five. And I'm just really concerned about the goals they're conceding. And they've had that great result in Europe. But the unfortunate for them is they haven't had a game in so long to sort of play on that and bounce out of that. So it's the Shelbourne story is ticking time bomb underneath all of what's going on in the league at the moment. We don't know where it's going to play out. They could end up in Europe, but they could arguably end up in a playoff position as well to stay in the league.
Yeah, like if they do lose this one, Gareth, Galway United will leapfrog them. They're on 33 points. Like that will be a huge psychological win for Galway United, not to mind the 3 points.
Yeah, 100%. And their next two games after that is Shamrock Rovers and Derry as well, Shelburne. So it doesn't get any easier. But Galway are just going about their business. John Coffey's just going about his business, unbeaten in a few games, few wins, few draws. He is just ticking along nicely now, staying out of real trouble in that playoff position. But Shelburne, and back to your question, Vinny, you want to be playing games. See, when it's not going well, you want the game to put it right. Now, John Russell might say, listen, I'm only in the club. It's been hectic since I come in. I need some time with the players on the pitch. Yeah. But see, as a player, you want to be playing every 3 or 4 days because training is dead on. It's grand. But see, when you're playing, you don't learn much from training, but you learn loads from losing matches. You learn loads about players. And then you got to get round to the next match so you can start putting draws on and points on the board. So it's a massive, massive match. I expect to see, it'll be interesting to see who starts this match and how John sets up, because now he's had enough time to see who's my best team and who can I rely on. It'll be very interesting to see. I hope he starts Young Murr. I would love to see him starting the game.
Yeah, why would you say that now?
I just think he's completely different to what they've got. Like, if you look at all the midfields, JJ Lunny, they're all very, very similar. Murr can break the lines with pace. And you know what he does as well? He runs in behind. So when he gets a ball, his first thought is direct. And he goes. And he's got a very, very nice left foot. So I think he's completely different to what they've got. Ali Coote, all these boys. The only other thing, the other player I would love to see, and this is me playing Championship Manager, Jarvis and Murr on both sides. Mm. Of a striker, just
risk takers, Gareth. Risk takers. That's what.
Yeah, risk takers.
That's why we pay into these grounds.
Yeah,
don't be sterile. And now, to be fair, to Daniel Kelly, would argue he's done really well for them. In fairness, and he scored goals. To be fair to Dickey, big European goals as well. But risk takers. Want to see risk takers? And every so often, managers have to be patient with risk takers. Sometimes they dribble down and you open the gates for them, but then the next time you've got to back them. And the two of them players you're talking about are risk takers. And if I was paying for a season ticket in Shelbourne, I'd want to see them two players as well.
Do you think that kind of tactic could work against this Galway United defence, Vinny?
What Galway will be okay with, if Shells go back to the type, like Gareth's talking about, some really good footballers there, but they just pass sideways, backways, waiting for little openings, they might get one. But you know what, Galway would be comfortable suffering and not having the ball. So the best way to get beyond that is is they call it front foot football. Whatever that means is it means getting the ball to Moore, Jarvis, or Daniel Kelly, as I said, in quick transition and just going and getting at teams. And once you allow Galway get set, that's when you struggle against them. When you don't allow their back four, five, six, seven players get set and you attack them quickly, that's when they struggle. So it has to be quicker. And there will be moments when you play Galway where you can't do that and you've got to pass sideways, backways and wait for little openings. But goals change games. And when, if Shells are starting that front foot football we talk about and take a lead, then Galway have to open up. You've got to get back into the game. And that's when your flair players then get more opportunities on the sort of transitions. But too many teams are too passive and slow at the moment at the start of games, particularly when you play the likes of Galway. Got to be quicker. And I think Shells have those dynamic type players that can do that.
Do you think, Vinny, like if you were John Russell and you're getting your team ready for this game, like he has already faced, I'm trying to check now, was he in charge for that Galway Sligo match in July still? Let me double check that. Yeah, he would have been. So he's played against Galway United three times this season and lost all of those matches. Is that something that would play in his mind, do you think, going into this game against John Caulfield again? Or does it give Caulfield a bit of a psychological upper hand going into the match?
Yeah, it does. But neither of the two of them are playing the game. So therefore, you know, it's ultimate. But at the same time, if you keep doing the same things and expecting a different result, then you're on cloud cuckoo land. So John Russell has to learn what a Sligo team did wrong when they played against Galway. He's a different set of players and arguably more talented players. But at the same time, I've sort of alluded to earlier on in the first part of that answer to say, don't be slow, passive, nice and easy and good on the eye and getting loads of plaudits because your team play lovely football and loads of possession. You've got to mix it up a little bit, particularly when you're in a scrap and particularly when you're playing the likes of Galway, who, as I said, what biggest attribute of Galway is they're okay when they're suffering. They're okay with that. They can live with that and they wait for you to make a mistake, where you've got to get them having to jump out and let them make the mistakes by taking a lead against them or getting them under pressure. And that's what Shells have to do this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Go on, sorry, Gareth.
No, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
For once.
Good to hear. So that's the Galway United Sligo Rovers game. That's also on Friday night. We've also got St Patrick's Athletic against Waterford. We've certainly touched on those two teams quite a lot over the last few weeks, so we won't dwell on it too much. We might come back to them again. Just on St Pat's.
No. We have to just let them. Pat's deserve a very, very special mention.
Oh, here we
say
go.
What you want.
Vinny's mea culpa here. Come on.
Vinny must have got a few kisses, emojis over the last while.
Yeah, yeah.
No. Must have been a bit of kissing and making up.
100%, no, yeah.
I'm still on the blocked list. But what I will say is, give me 20 seconds, that's all I'll take.
No, actually, listen, take your time, Vincent.
No, give me 20 seconds, that's all. Because that's where, when you're honest and when you call what you see, then you can look in the mirror and stand in front of anyone and say, I've called what I see. The last 2 weeks or 3 weeks from Pats have been outstanding and we want to see more of that. And they are in a title race and fair play to them for doing it. Going away to draw them backing up what they've done in the previous weeks, whether it was knocking out Rovers, deserves credit. And if what I'd have said 3 or 4 weeks ago was personal, I would have just allowed you to move on. It's not personal. It's calling what you see. And Pats have been really good. And the next week or two, we might be discussing about them being slap bang in the middle of a tight race.
Well, surely, Vinny and Steve, they're in a tight race. If they win on Friday before Rovers play on Sunday, they're going to be a point behind them.
Yeah.
And then Rovers have got to go home to Shells, away to Pats and home to Waterford the next three games.
Yeah. Do you know what, Gareth? I don't know where you're going at the moment, Steve-O. Sorry, next. But can I just say, that's the key to all of this. All of a sudden, that win this week means pressure. Pressure is what affects you when you're trying to win a league title. Pressure is what makes your players make silly decisions. So, for example, I've said this hundreds of times. Rovers nil all. When Pats are only a point behind, somebody jumps out and makes a silly decision. or a fullback takes an extra chance and they're done on the counter-attack because they're going, oh, it's 65 minutes, it's still nil all, we'll only be 2 points behind, it's not in our hands, all of this nonsense goes through your head. And that's why we want more from the Bowls and the Pats to put this Rovers team under pressure. And the
I'm Stephen Bradley, sorry Vinny, I'm Stephen Bradley, I'm going to come back at you and say, look, we've been here three or four or five times over the last few years, we don't feel pressure. That kind of pressure won't affect my team.
Well, we don't know that because no one has put them up under enough pressure over the last number of years. They've walked to league titles. So we're in a situation now, Steve, all right, where when the great teams fall off their mountaintop, nobody sees it coming. So before this gets clipped up or somebody puts it on the back of a dressing room door or a player pulls me in a car park when I'm leaving Tallaght, let me be clear. I don't know if this Rovers team is about to fall off that cliff. But they are under pressure if Pats and Bowls do their business right over the next number of weeks. They aren't playing well enough. They are in transition and they are trying to turn these young players into the next great Shamrock Rovers team. But they're not there yet. And they will feel the pressure, whether you want to admit it or not. Corey O'Sullivan, Healy, they'll feel the pressure if Pats are a point behind. Be under no illusions about that. We don't know if this Rovers team are about to collapse like City did under Pep or Dundalk did under me and all of these different teams over the years that just all of a sudden disappeared. And we're about to find out. The next couple of weeks are huge for Shamrock Rovers. Absolutely huge, massive challenge ahead of them.
A quick one, Vinny. Gareth, go on. Yeah.
I think this Friday, forget about Shamrock Rovers, this Friday is massive for Pats and Bows. They're home to Waterford, Pats are, and Bows are home to Sligo. Like, if there's ever an opportunity to put your hand up and go, I want to be the team that puts Rovers under, it's this weekend.
Do you think if Rovers were, and I said we're recording on Wednesday for ahead of that Thursday game between Rovers and Coops, if Rovers were to lose that match against Coops or to lose the tie and go out of Europe, Gareth, do you think it could have an impact psychologically on their title aspirations?
Absolutely, 100%. I keep saying this. I know people turn around and go, no, but if they go out, they'll be able to concentrate in the league matches. No way. It's all about momentum and it's all about confidence. And as Vinny said, there's not 12, 15 really senior players in that dressing room anymore. There's a nice, nice mixture of young players, established players and really senior players. And it's a real, real good, strong team. But if they were to go out at Coops tomorrow night and they were going into that match against Derry, it would be, and Pats won and Bows won on Friday night. It definitely would sharpen them up a bit, but they would be much better for themselves and the players they won tomorrow night.
And by the way, Steve, this Rovers team are capable of winning over Finland and winning on Sunday. So we look like gobshites this time next week. We're not. We're just saying. I'm just telling you. There's a health warning around Shamrock Rovers at the moment. They may or may not answer all of those questions, but we could be looking at the beginning of the new cycle or the end of this cycle, and we don't know yet. Bradley will hate that. Will be pissed off with me for saying it, but they're in a really sticky situation. They aren't playing well at the moment, and they're not blowing teams away. I still think they're the best. And you've got some brilliant footballers, but this is a huge test for him and his group at the moment.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think even the most measured Shamrock Rovers fans, and they're the kind of ones I look at when I'm looking at social media, would say, look, they'd be concerned going away to Finland because their away form in Europe hasn't been good enough this year. So it is a huge, huge game. Briefly, before we go, Gareth, and listen, the Derry City thing, because Mark Connolly mentioned they're still looking for a manager. I know a lot of Derry City supporters are really the message from Derry City supporters seems to be, from the large section of them, they want a manager in quickly before the end of the season. They don't want to see Connolly just having to, you know, keep this interim thing going. But like, can he get a reaction from those players after what happened at Dalymount Park that will be good enough to beat Shamrock Rovers on Sunday?
Absolutely. Listen, Mark Connolly, you heard his interview. I like Mark Connolly a lot. I like what he's been saying since he's been in the role, right? At the minute, the club is completely under-resourced off the pitch. He was director of football and the manager's right. He is now in a great position. The players like him. He will be able to get a reaction against Rovers. It's going to be a great game. It's on the new pitch. It's completely different to the Rovers game where they came up to Celtic Park and Derry beat them and Austin Vinnie was the best player in the park. It's completely different. They will be, if they've gone through in Europe, they'll be buzzing. If they've gone out, they'll be hurting. But Mark Connolly's really good. He speaks well. He's passionate. He understands the club. The problem that I have is there's nobody doing the director of football role. So he's supposed to be manager and looking for a new manager. Mm-hmm. To answer your question, I don't want them to jump in, just get another manager just for the sake of it. They've made the decision. I think it was the wrong decision. Mark Connolly should not have went in to manage the club. They should have got an interim to the end of the season if they hadn't got a manager. And he should have continued doing the good work that he's doing as director of football. So they've made that wrong decision. Himself and Phillip are the big decisions making. Another point of view, Steve, was Mark Connolly's only 34 years of age. He's a young man, has finished football. He's only getting into his next career outside of football after being a player. So we've got to give him time. We've got to give him the room that he deserves and Derry City deserve. I know he had a bit of a pop after the match, and that's okay. He's going to make mistakes. He's still young. Let him make mistakes. He's a good person. He loves the club. He's passionate. He's a good appointment by the club as a director of football.
Yeah, to sum all that up, Gareth, what you're saying is he's inexperienced, and he was inexperienced as on the sideline the other night as well. Yeah. I mean, Ball scored another set piece similar to what he did in Europe. So somebody hasn't done the homework right. They conceded from set pieces. Somebody hasn't done the homework right. Who thought Hickey might start at the back post, end up at the front post at the six-yard box to attack an outswinger from Flores? The whole league. Doesn't mean you can stop him, but they were so disorganised. Goes back to the manager. He's too inexperienced. Yes, he's done a good job. I get that.
No, I disagree. I disagree.
I'm afraid.
I disagree. Right? He has been handed that team. He was told he was going to do a director of football job. Then the chairman decided to throw him in as a manager. It's an awful decision. And now he's basically, we're going now, right?
So let's finish this, right? But
no,
I'm
hang
not saying
on,
Mark
Vinny.
Connolly's at fault. Mark Connolly's not a fault.
Sorry, Vinny, hang
he's
on a second.
Inexperienced.
Vinny, the host, you're getting carried away with your little hosting stint there a couple of weeks ago. I make the calls here, right? I'm going to let you finish. No, I'm joking. Right, the National League, we will come back to it. I don't. We wanted to discuss it today. I just want to give you the final word, Vinny. I'm going to give you the last word here. Sean Dillon. What a career that man has had. He has become the oldest outfield player in the SPFL era at the age of 43 years and 16 days. An old teammate of yours along for town, Sean Dillon.
Yeah, Dillo calls everybody buddy because that probably is the best way I can explain it. He's just... He is one of the best people you will ever meet in football. And I say that sometimes about people and whatever. Sean Dillon is an absolute brilliant, brilliant football person. He is playing at that level for a reason. His dedication to the game is off of the charts. He's had such a brilliant career. He won a couple of cups at Longford Town, scored the winner against Bowles, Steve-O. You might remember I passed it to him and he fired a shot past someone down in the old Strokestown Road from about 25 yards. Left foot finished, left foot, right foot equally. Then moved on to Shelbourne, won league titles, was brilliant. But an absolute, and he's one of the all-time greats at Dundee United. He went to Villa as a kid, but all of his League of Ireland experience when he went to Scotland has meant him, his wife, his kids are still there. He's overly loved in Scotland because he's one of the best people you'll ever meet in and around a football club. And you know what? The best saying in football is be good to the game, and the game be good to you. Dillo's always been good to the game, and the game has been good to him and his family, and he deserves it all.
Yeah, player coach now at Montrose. Dillo, if you're listening to us, congratulations on your achievement. Absolutely magnificent. And listen, keep her lit. No reason why you should be putting a stop to it now. And of course, he comes from a great football and family. His auntie Nolene McMahon, good Ballyferm, a woman capped 4 times for the Republic of Ireland as well. And I know there's a lot more football in the family, but I thought I'd give her a mention. I know they were over together at an Ireland match not so long ago, getting their caps together. He got a B cap as well for Ireland. So listen, congratulations to Sean Dillon on that achievement. Very well done to him. Listen, if you're off to a match this weekend, folks, enjoy yourselves. Hope it goes well for you and your team, whoever it is. Gareth, Vinny, thank you both forever. Look forward to our chat for next week. And thank you for listening.
Cheers, Hope.
The LOI Pod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.
This is a free Off the Ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan and lots more, become an Off The Ball member today.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.